Welcome to Lost and Starting Over with Linda Ballesteros. Death, sickness, unemployment, sadness, depression, divorce. Do you feel like you're alone in any of this? Well, you're not. Together we can find a way out. Get ready for Lost and Starting Over, a show on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Linda Ballesteros.
Hey folks, welcome to Loss and Starting Over. This is your host, Linda Ballesteros, and I thank you so much for joining me today. It's going to be a great day. I always feel like there's something beautiful waiting for me out there every single day. You know, sometimes I have to do a little weed whacking to finally get to it, but honestly, there is something beautiful in every day, and at the end of the day, if you would write that beautiful thing down in a journal, we call it an uptick journal, just talking about the great things. And sometimes it's just the little things. I was just sitting here at my desk this morning, and a little squirrel came by, and he's building a nest. And he was working pretty hard at that. So that's a very cool thing to be able to see nature in its works. But I tell you every day that I am just so honored for you to join me, because time is that commodity that you can't get back. You can always replace money. You can replace anything else. But time is that one commodity that we can't get back. So when someone spends time with you, be sure to be grateful, because they won't get that 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour back. So again, I want to thank you so much for being on here with me. And if you'll follow us, you can listen to past shows and see what's going on, because I post articles on my Facebook page. It's Loss and Starting Over. Just search for that on Facebook and I'll pop up, and you can just like us and you can be in the thread so that you can hear what's going on. And like I said, I post some great articles out there about the different types of losses and how starting over, because the show is more about starting over. The loss is the loss. And I'm certainly not trivializing that, but the loss was the end. You can't recreate what you had. So it's all about the starting over. And how people start over is fascinating to me, because everybody has their own style. They come out of it with their own beliefs. And we can always pick up some tips and tools that will help us, because whether you've had a loss up to this point in your life, I can assure you that you will at some point, because that's just what this earth is about. It's the circle of life. So today my guest is Pastor Lydia Ford. And Pastor Lydia is a licensed ordained minister of the gospel. She is the founding pastor of Don't Forget to Say Your Prayers International Worship Center. She's authored a couple of books, Don't Forget to Say Your Prayers and Careth Thou Not That I Perish. So I'd like for you to join me in welcoming Pastor Lydia. Welcome to the show, Pastor Lydia.
Good morning. It is my pleasure to be with you this afternoon.
Very good. Well, we're glad to have you, because I know that we, as I mentioned before, those of us or those out there that have not had a loss yet, it's just part of the circle of life, and we will experience that at some point. And we can learn from each other on how to go forward. But tell me a little bit about your story, Pastor Lydia, so that our audience can kind of understand how you relate to that and how you can connect to that and understand those that are in your community and help them as they go through it.
Okay, I'm going to try to be as brief as I can be to kind of summarize. I had a husband, Thomas Ford, and through that marriage we had two children, Danielle Ford and Trevor. And Danielle, my oldest child, she was married in 2006 to a great young man. And in 2009, she delivered her first child, Jayla. It was in July of 2009. And about a month later after she delivered the baby, she started getting very sick, started losing a lot of weight. And she went to, actually, she had a crisis, so she had to go to the emergency room. And to make a long story short, after they did CAT scans and after they did MRIs and all the kind of testing, they discovered that she had pancreatic cancer that had already spread to her liver. Mm-hmm. And they had given her a terminal diagnosis, and her expectation for survival was very short. They didn't even give her, well, she lived 15 months, but, you know, they gave her a few months to live. But by the grace of God, she lived 15 months. She was able to care for her with the help of families and friends. She spent 15 months with her newborn baby, saw her through her first year of life, through all of that special holidays. But she did die. She died in 2010, October 28, 2010. I don't know if you ever lost a child, but it's devastating. My heart was wrenched. My husband and I, our hearts were wrenched. We couldn't understand how a 28-year-old would contract such a deadly disease. You know, when I heard the word pancreatic cancer, I cringed because I knew that was one of the hardest cancers for survival. Mm-hmm. But she passed. And again, oh, God, it was devastating. And the next year, 2010, her dad took ill around September of 2010, was complaining about shortness of breath. We took him to the doctor. They did a bunch of tests, sent us for x-rays, waited for them to call back the results to our doctor. Doctor told us to come back there, get in his office, and he tells us that my husband has a lung cancer. Well, he didn't tell us at the office. He said go straight to the hospital. And by the time they did a battery test, they determined that he had stage 4 lung cancer and had only a few weeks, a few months to live. Now, we didn't even have a time out. We didn't even have a break from going through the devastation of losing Danielle. And now to hear that my husband of 37 years was diagnosed with lung cancer, it just took the breath out of me. He went in the hospital October the 3rd, 2011, and in 25 days later, he was gone. We had celebrated our 37th anniversary on October the 5th. My son had a birthday on the 17th of October. His birthday, my husband's birthday, was the 21st. He turned 60 years old. On the 28th, he suffered a heart attack. And as you can imagine, I was totally caught off guard. I thought we would have a few more weeks, maybe a couple of months, but he suffered a heart attack. They intubated him, and I had to make the decision of whether to take him off the respirator. Now, the thing is, it's October 28th. It's the same day, 1 year later, from when my daughter died. It's the same day, and I have to make this call to disconnect him from the respirator. So you can imagine. But my son talked me into it, you know, telling me, Mom, just let Dad go, and the two of them can be together. So I girded up my loins. I girded up all the strength that I could, and I allowed them to disconnect him from the respirator. So now I'm dealing with two deaths back to back, same day. Never thought that could happen in a million years. Nobody could have written that script for my life. I was devastated.
And you know, Pastor Lydia, the people out there that are, if you're listening, folks, just know you can still hear the pain in her voice. And I don't know that it ever completely goes away. That emotion is so there. I could tell it took, telling the story took you right back to that moment. And
it took me right back
there. I totally understand. Right back to that moment. But you know, folks, that's okay. That is part of it. At some point, you notice that the pain is not as sharp maybe as it was at that time. But
no, it's not. I'm much better now.
right. You know,
I'm much better.
It hasn't been a year since I've lost my husband. So many times telling that story, I still, tears stream down my face. You know, I'm still at that point. So Pastor Lydia, how did you possibly get through that? What was your next step? Where do you turn from there? You've lost a child. You've lost a husband. You have a grandbaby that is a beautiful grandbaby. I see those pictures of that sweet baby, and it's just beautiful. But how do you make this next step? And what is that step? What was that step for you?
Well, I had to draw on my faith and my trust in God. What happened to me was much bigger than I could have ever imagined. And as I reflect, I thought about how my life mirrored my mother's life. My mom lost a child, my brother, my oldest brother, when he was 20, I think he was 21, because we were just a year apart. He was stationed at Elgin Air Force Base in Florida, and he got killed in a car accident when he was in South Carolina visiting my mother's mother. So she had experienced losing a child, and I think my mom was in her early 40s because she was only like 20 years older than my brother, maybe 21 or 2 older than myself. So she experienced the loss of a child. She experienced the loss of a father. She experienced the loss of a husband. She lost my dad when my dad was 75. So our path kind of paralleled. And so I drew a lot on my faith in God. I drew a lot from my mother's strength. She's like a pillar, the matriarch of our family. She came and stayed with me for a good month so that I could, you know, just lean on her. And then I had to remember that we had this infant child, Jayla. Her father's name is Jameis Jeter. They live in Albany, New York, which is about 2 hours from where I am in Connecticut. And so I knew that I had to live and I had to go on to help this child, to know that she wasn't left alone, to nurture her, to remind her of who her mom was, you know, to help her to grow into a strong individual. I continue to, I just followed routines. I tried not to make any big decisions. I had supportive prayer partners and friends that helped me. So I kept certain routines. I didn't attempt to do any great plans or make major decisions. And while my mom was here, you know, I actually, and my sister, we gathered all my husband's things and, you know, we boxed them up and we gave them to the Goodwill because I knew I would not be able to handle that once they were gone. Mm-hmm. So I was able to take time off from work because I was an elementary school teacher. He died in October. I took about a month, maybe a little more time off. And then, you know what? I was careful about who I talked to. Mm-hmm. I was careful about who came to visit me because I wasn't looking for sympathy. I didn't want people to question me about the details of my daughter's death or my husband's death, especially my husband, because he was a deacon at the church and it happened so suddenly. Mm-hmm. And people were actually angry because I didn't tell them, you know, the details that, you know, of his illness and his subsequent death. So I was careful about who I let get in my ear. You know, I didn't want to hear all those churchy slogans that, you know, believers quote when people die, you know, you shouldn't grieve, you know, he's in a better, I didn't want to hear that because my soul was grieved. My soul was hurting me. So I just took it one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 week at a time, one month at a time. And it, you know, because there's no normal amount of time that it takes for grieving. It's different for everyone. And there's a lot of myths about grieving, you know, that I had to expunge and I have, you know, there's just no amount of time. Some people in your life might treat your loss as if it's like ancient history. They may subtly say, you know, get over it, get on with your life. But the truth is you got to give yourself permission to grieve for as long as you need to grieve. And you can't hurry that. You can't rush it. So helping, what I did was I wrote a book. When my daughter died, I wrote a book. I had to tell God there has to be, I don't know why you did this. I was angry with him. I was so angry. But I knew there had to be a way to get this grief off my chest. So I wrote at night in my journal book, and I just kept writing, and these writings turned to chapters and chapters and more chapters, and then I had to ask him for help with the titles. And before I knew it, I had written a whole book. So that helped me to go through, you know, the grieving stage. Thank God that when I sent it off to an editor or to a publisher, they thought it was a good read. And subsequently, that was my first book that I authored. But I felt that this pain that I was feeling, I had to get it out, and it was bigger than me, and somebody else would be experiencing this pain, and I needed to help them to get through what I was going through currently.
You know, one thing, Pastor Lydia, that I notice is that what helped me was when I got to a point that I could do this. This is certainly not day one that you can do this, but for me to find another purpose, and that purpose to be to help someone else, that helped me see a purpose in the ending. Because when you're in the midst of it, it's like, holy cow, what is this? My husband was not even 64 years old. He was still 63 years old, and he was still working. And we had many more years, in my mind, to be together. So to wrap my head around that first, and then to finally say, you know, that's that story, or maybe my story can help someone else. It did help me feel like I again had a purpose, because when that ends, for me, Pastor Lydia, I felt like I was done. I just felt like
I agree.
Was done. You know, and there were days that I thought, what's the point? All the vision boards that I had put together, and many of us do that. It was me and my husband accomplishing these things in my future. It wasn't me doing it by myself. So our whole future gets scrambled, and we have to sort it out and see what it's supposed to be going forward. And I know that you relied on your faith, and I know that you relied on, your belief. And I totally agree with you 100% on being careful who you talk to, because I never wanted to have those poor thing, you know, oh my gosh, what are you going to do now? You know, I did not want that energy around me. I didn't need Pollyannas around me. I just needed people that would say, you'll get through it. What can I do? What can I do? You know, so when you got to the point that you had gotten some of the pain out, and how do you continue to manage this and process this? Because it is still a daily journey for you.
Yes, and I totally agree with something that you just said about a purpose, finding a purpose. Again, writing both of these books was a way of expressing my pain. It became less and less about me and more about helping, you know, as many people as I possibly could. Just recently, I took part in a 30-day soul detox class that an apostle here was teaching. And one of the things that she asked us to do was to find 100 reasons why you must live. And when she said 100 reasons, I thought that was an impossible task. But then I started writing, you know, 100 reasons why I have to be here. And it wasn't just about my children and, you know, and things like that. But I actually got up to about 60 reasons why I need to be here on this earth. I need to write more books. You know, I need to lose some weight. I want to see my church grow. I want to be able to bless, you know, my mom with a trip. I want to see my grandchildren get married. I want to start a nonprofit. I came up with a whole bunch of reasons why my life is valuable, and it has it still has meaning, even though I lost a daughter, even though I lost a husband. So rebuilding doesn't really begin, actually, until you have to kind of sift through the majority of your feelings, your memories, and the issues, you know, that resulted from your loss. You really have to understand, well, what is still left in your soul, you know, your emotions and all of your passion, your appetite. You got to deal with what's still in your soul. And so even after 5 years, after 6 years, I'm still kind of going through, okay, what didn't I get rid of? Did I forgive everybody? Did I get rid of my guilt? You know, as far as rebuilding, we got to deal with some of those unresolved issues, because guess what? Your life cannot go back to the way it was. It can't, because those individuals are not present in your life anymore. So rebuilding, for me, meant picking up the pieces, putting them together, but not like in the same context, not in the same way, because I didn't have a husband to come home to at night. I didn't have a daughter I could call up. And at first it was very slow. And for many of you out there, it's going to depend on, you know, what your relationship was like with your loved one. Because, you know, when people say, well, my husband died too, and I lost, but it's different because everybody has their own relationship with their loved one. It also depends on how much time you take to process the death and how much support from others that you have received. So another thing that I did, I had to set long-term goals, short-term goals. I did vision boards. Mm-hmm. I had to create new vision boards, and it couldn't be with my husband. It couldn't be, you know, with my daughter. But I created vision boards for my personal growth. I created them for my ministry. I set goals and focused on strategies and plans that I needed to implement in order to make my life more meaningful. And I had to realize that my life would not be the same, but I also had to understand that I could still, one of my favorite scriptures in Psalm 27 is this, 27:13, I still believe that I will bear fruit even in my, it's not, wait a minute, that's not the way, okay, I just lost it for a minute. I'll come back to that one because I know it, but it just froze on me.
Well, you got it?
No, but I wanted to say this. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I discovered that was in my soul was kind of really keeping me from going forward was I had this control issue. And it had to do with my son, because I realized that I could not hold on to my son. I couldn't hold him hostage, thinking that he or his wife could replace my husband or my daughter, because 3 weeks later after my husband died, my son got married. So now that was another loss. He didn't die, but he got married on me, left. Right. And I felt abandoned, and I felt that, you know, he should have still been with me. He should have helped me get over the death of his sister, the death of, you know, his dad, my husband. And I had been I didn't realize this, Linda, until like maybe 2 weeks ago. And I had to really repent because I was holding him hostage. And I was holding my daughter-in-law hostage because I wanted her to be that daughter that I was, that was no longer here. Oh, my God. Mm. It just hurt me to my heart. I had to expectations for about who Trevor was and what I expected him to be. You know, I sometimes expected him to drop everything he was doing to come and assist me with my little personal crisis, you know, things that business or chores around the house, you know, come screw in this light bulb, change the battery in the fire alarm. You know, I had to, I just realized that I was holding him hostage. When he got married, the Bible says they are to leave, the sons are to leave and cleave to their wife. Well, I had a problem with that. He was cleaving to her. You know, he wouldn't call me like I wanted to, see him like I wanted to, you know. But I was controlling him. And instead of allowing him to carve this new life out with his wife, to establish, you know, their own belief systems, their own traditions and whatnot, I was trying to control him. I wanted him to believe what I wanted him to believe. I wanted him to come to my church. I wanted us to have Thanksgiving the way I wanted. It was a mess until God showed me I had a control issue. So I had to release them. I had to release both of them, and I really owe both of them an apology. I really do. But
well, you know, listeners, I want you to listen. I want you to listen what Pastor Lydia is saying, because this is an unfolding, and it is not something that happens once you have gone to one grief meeting, you know, support group, and you say, oh, I think I've got this. You just never know when you look back and go, oh my goodness, I'm still holding on to something that doesn't serve me or doesn't serve the other person any longer. So I tell you what, Pastor Lydia, we're just going to take a real quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to hear where you are now. I want to hear how you are helping, taking your experience and helping your congregation with that, and how you see yourself going forward. So let's take a real quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more from Pastor Lydia Ford.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Welcome back to Lost and Starting Over. This is Linda Ballesteros, and my guest today is Pastor Lydia Ford, and she has been sharing with us the heart-wrenching story of losing a child and losing her husband just within 1 year apart, and that has got to be devastating. But what I want to hear is, it's evident that this is something that not every person is faced with, the loss of a child, the loss of her husband, and just 1 year apart. You know, it's just amazing that happens. And I'll be honest with you, I don't believe in synchronicity. I mean, I don't believe that things happen just for, they just happen. I believe that there's a plan, and it's the chances of your husband leaving this earth 1 year from the day that your daughter left, I think was part of the plan. But how do you, again, continue to do your daily work, and how do you help those in your congregation that are dealing with similar issues where they need some support in starting over? How do you approach that?
Okay, what I do, I think I just mentioned that I had been going through this 30-day soul detox class with a pastor. It was Facebook Live, and she was also on Periscope. And the teaching that I received just kind of gave me a booster shot, because it helped me to understand that even though I have made progress in helping to get through the bereavement period, that there was still something in my soul, that was in my mind, and I just mentioned it, this little control thing that I had going on that didn't jump out at me immediately following the death of my daughter and my husband. I had to go to counseling, and I recommend that highly. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes as believers, we don't like to go and sit on the couch of a counselor. And guess what? Sometimes pastors are not really trained in mental health to help us through our bereavement, what we're going through. So I tell my congregant, you know what, if the counsel that I give you, the help that I give you is not really helping you, that it's okay for you to go and seek counseling outside of your pastor. Matter of fact, there's a young woman that is a member of my flock, of my church, and she is seeking counseling outside of what I have to offer. Matter of fact, we both go to the same counselor because, you know what, it's an ongoing process, Linda. I am still in counseling even after 6 years from losing my daughter. So I don't put myself on a pedestal and make them feel like they have to tell me everything, that I hold all the answers to their problems. I free them up because, you know, my expertise only goes so deep. I don't have a counseling degree. I have pastoral counseling certificates and diplomas, but there are some things that happen in life with, you know, child abuse, sexual abuse, you know, different types of manic depressive and bipolar. You know, there are things that in infirmities I do not have the expertise for, so I encourage them to seek help outside of me. I also encourage them to have an accountability partner that they will trust, you know, who will really listen to them. Sometimes pastors get busy and we just don't have the time. So you need an accountability person, whether it's your friend, a prayer partner, whatever you want to call it. You know, we all need somebody that will listen to us. I think that I have changed since the death of my daughter and my husband. My heart is more tender. I'm more sensitive to those who have experienced loss, whether it's loss of a loved one, whether it's divorce, whether it's financial. There's so many other kinds of loss, as you mentioned. So I'm just discovering that I'm more patient. I listen more. I listen better. I'm not trying to be as controlling moving forward in the life of my congregant, because sometimes that control can turn into manipulation, and manipulation is ugly. I don't want them feeling sorry for me. They know my story, but I don't want our relationship to gravitate into something where, you know, I push my feelings or my insecurities onto them. So, you know, I'm learning through my own counseling, you know, what my little demons are, and I am confessing them, I'm releasing them so that I can continue to be healthy. Another thing I've learned and have changed, you know how there are certain traditions in your family that have been passed down from your grandmother, your grandmother, your mother. I'm learning how to let go of some of these traditions that my mom and my parents held me to as sacred, and I'm less of a perfectionist. I learned to leave dishes in the sink at night and not feel like I'm a slob. I try to make me so happy. Come on now. I pay for a monthly massage because I think I'm worth it, and it helps me to reduce my stress. I change my hair color up and then. I choose more colorful attire instead of the dress, you know, instead of wearing the black and the blue and the navy, you know, colors. I choose colorful reds and purples and greens and oranges if I want to. I'm even open to dating. When this a man invited me to go out, well, actually, he sent me some flowers about 4 years ago for Valentine's Day. My husband hadn't even been dead 2 years, and I was like devastated. I'm like, what the heck? Who is sending me flowers? And I found a gentleman that I knew, and we subsequently wound up going on dates. I was devastated that first date. I felt guilty. I felt like I didn't have the right to date. I was betraying my husband. But that initial date grew into such a flourishing friendship. We're still friends today. I thought maybe it would go in a little bit different way, a more serious way, but he chose not to. But we're still friends today. So I give myself permission to love because I didn't think I could feel emotionally connected to another man. My husband was the only man I ever knew, if you know what I mean, ever knew. And when this person came along, it was like, wow, I don't believe I still had the capacity to be emotionally connected to somebody, but God was showing me yes. After all the hurt you've been through, you deserve to be happy. And yes, there's more love in you. You can spread love to somebody else. They can feel that love, and you can feel that love in return. So I thank God that I used to say, if you ever die, I'm done. I'm done. I ain't ever getting married. But now I can say, you know, I'm open to marrying again, you know. I have passion, you know, I have desires, and I'm just more open now, you know. I'm just trusting that here's my scripture, Psalm 27:13. Spirit brought it back to me. I still believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not when I get to heaven, but right here. And I'll tell you, I have three beautiful granddaughters now. My oldest, Jayla, from my daughter, is going to be 8. And my son gave us 2 beautiful girls, 3 and 2. And they are the jewels in my crown. They are my reason for living. But as I said, when the apostle said, write 100 reasons why you should be living, I started writing, and I was amazed at the things that I found out. So I have so much, Linda, to look forward to in my life. And I'll be 65 in July. But guess what? I don't look like all I've been through. And everybody that sees me, they say, wow, I don't believe you. You look so young. You look so beautiful. Your countenance has changed. There's a softness in you that I've not seen in years. And you don't look like all the hell that you've been through. And I just give credit to the Lord. It's by his grace. So
I tell you what, we're going to have to go out and celebrate because I turned 65 in July as well. We are going to take our Medicare card, and we're going to go out and we're going to celebrate.
You're right.
Like you said, you know, there is so much more life to us, and there is a new chapter. I don't know what that new chapter is, but I think for me, what I have allowed is to be open to what that new chapter brings me. I had decided that I wanted to take some classes just to get out. And the first class, I thought I was going to have a panic attack because it was the first time I had stepped out. When I left that class, had to sit in my car for an hour and talk to my daughter to get through that. Now, I'm okay. It's just sometimes that first step is really a tough one. And it's okay. Yeah. Just know, don't stop. That is not going to be the way it will always be. It is just, you know, it's like writing, you know, learning something new. You don't get it right on the first time. You just have to keep doing it and doing it. So, and I hear that so through your story is, you just have to continue to do it. So, Pastor Lydia, what are you doing now that you can tell others that they might be interested in? I love the 30-day detox. That sounds like something that we could probably all do, spiritual detox. Was it a soul detox? Is that how?
It's a soul detox because, you know what, we are in, especially people that are in the church, you know, there's a greater audience out there. So they may not even be people that, you know, are church, that go to church and believe in God. But, you know, we are a three-part man, three-part person. There's spirit, there's the soul, and then there's your body. And so when we in the church, we put a lot of emphasis on the spirit. Our spirit, you know, when we believe, you know, our spirit is saved, it's eternal. But we don't concentrate on what is in our soul. The soul is the place of your emotions. The soul is the place of your appetite. The soul is the place, did I say passion, appetite, your thoughts, your belief system. And sometimes we can poison our spirit, our soul. We can poison our minds. And it's just like, you know, for example, the woman gave an example. If you have a headache or a sore throat, how long would it be before you decided to do something about that headache? How long would it take before you, you know, decided to go to the doctor for your sore throat? Or how long would it take before you decided to get some medicine to cure that headache? And most of us said, for a headache, maybe a couple hours. Sore throat, well, maybe we could suffer with it 2 or 3 days. But we wouldn't go any longer than that. And so she equated it to our soul. How long should it take, or how long would it take for you to pay attention to your soul? What are those toxic thoughts that you keep replaying in your mind, the negative self-talk, not even talk that other people say, but the stuff that you say to yourself, and, oh, nobody likes me, or if I fell off the face of the earth, nobody would ever miss me, oh, I can never get it right. It's this negative self-talk that we take as regular doses, like medicine. We take it regularly, and we administer it regularly, and it's just killing us. It's killing us. It's making us sick. Physically, and you can trace it back, the self-talk, the negative talk. And, you know, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but names will never hurt. Oh, yes, names will hurt you, and they will scar you for life. So the soul is what we need to get out. So what I'm doing now, because I went through the 30-day detox, I am going to take that lesson. It's on Periscope. It's on Facebook Live. If people want to go to Apostle Suzanne Howard, they can download it on an MP3. It's on YouTube. It's the 30-Day Soul Detox, Apostle Suzanne Howard. You can Google it. You'll probably find it. I'm going to take those lessons, and I've already started transcribing my notes. I took a lot of notes, and I'm going to develop them into Sunday school lessons or Bible study lessons so that my members will know I'm not just interested in your spirit. I want to know what is in your soul. I teach two people who are studying to be a minister, so every other Thursday we meet and we talk about, you know, the theology and things like that. But recently I told them, you know, I could give you a 20 questions. I could ask you who are the major prophets, the minor prophets, you know, what does it mean, what is, you know, different scriptures. But guess what? I'm interested in what is your, what's in your soul. What makes you tick? Why do you serve? You know, how do you resolve conflict with other congregants, other members? So, I'm doing that. I'm doing teaching a minister's class. I'm doing more Periscope and more Facebook Live, which I'm petrified. I want to go back to radio. And I did a segment a couple years ago called From Broken Wine, From Broken Bread to Poured Out Wine, and I did a 30-minute segment, and I talked about my losses. I talked about how to get up out of, you know, bereavement and losses, and I really missed doing that, but financially I wasn't able to go back on the radio, but I would love to do that, even if I did podcasting. And so there's still a little fear, you know, of being live on, you know, on radio or live on Facebook. But you know what? Joyce Meyer says, do it afraid. And so I'm going to be doing more live podcasting and Facebook Live. And I'm a pastor, so I'm doing my due diligence every Sunday as a pastor. But I'm going to be starting my third book. And my third book is going to be about prayer, praying for unborn child, prayers that you can pray. Women can pray when their babies are in their womb. I just believe that because we prayed so much for my first granddaughter when my daughter was pregnant, that she is the vibrant, beautiful soul that she is today. I believe that children, that unborn child, can hear prayers. They can hear they can hear through the spirit. You know, good messages. I don't know about messages, but it's just something that the Lord laid on my heart to do, to write this book and I don't know how I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to ask my granddaughter actually to help me do it because I want us to understand that we need to pray for our unborn children, grandchildren, whatever they are, and through the Spirit, that they will come out and be vibrant. They will come out and have a reverential fear of God. They will come out knowing God has a purpose and a plan for their life. And even as we continue to groom them and pray for them when they come out as toddlers, as, you know, elementary school children, that they will grow up and love people, love God, and be all that they can be. So I'm still working on that a little bit, but I intend to write my third book. I'm a few months behind. So
well,
I like to travel.
If somebody is listening right now, and we've mentioned a couple of books that you already have, how would they receive your books? How would they follow you? How would they reach out to you? Do you have a Facebook page? Would you mind sharing that with our listeners right now?
I have a Facebook page, Lydia Ford, Lydia P. Ford. I have a Facebook page. I'm on LinkedIn. You can reach me also on my church website, my church ministry website, www.don'tforgettosayyourprayers.com. I have a blog on there that I blog pretty regularly. So those are you can get my books on Amazon.com, or you can order it from the website. There's a tab on there for you to click. So I think I mentioned all the social networks. I'm on Instagram too, Periscope. You'll find me. Twitter. I'm on all of those. Mm-hmm. And you can email me directly at ReverendPat@comcast.net. That's ReverendPat, all one word, @comcast.net. And if you would like a personal autograph book, you can just, you know, let me know and I will send you. I try to keep some on hand. I can mail it to you. Just, you know, get in contact with me. And they're $20.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. I so appreciate you being transparent, being authentic, and just being vulnerable enough to share your story today. Because what I have found is by being vulnerable, it opens your heart. And I think that's, I have experienced much of what you explained about a softness. So I don't have this urgency inside me constantly driving me the way I did before. So I feel that I have softened a bit, and I'd like to think that that continues, because that's been a good thing that's come out of something that was not so good for me. But again, I really want to thank you for being on the show and sharing, and let's do stay in touch. I would love to bring you back, and when you have your next book out, or if you decide to launch the 30-day soul detox yourself, and I would love to have you on and talk about that as well, because, boy, in this day and time, there's a lot of negative stuff that we're fed every time we turn the TV on. So we need to detox pretty regularly, don't we?
Oh, you're right. I just can't listen to all the news that I used to listen to.
Yep.
You know, I have to turn that box off because there's too much negativity.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, folks, you've heard from Pastor Lydia tell her story, and I'm sure that you can walk away with something that, even though you may not be in a crisis now, you may not be have lost someone now, but some of the things that Pastor Lydia actually talked about, you can use daily. You know, talking about journaling. Journaling is a beautiful thing. So writing down your thoughts on a daily basis can get them off of your chest. That just may be something that you're stressed out about at work, or it may be something that, you know, you're stressed out about with the kids, the family, your husband. Just get it out, because it does nothing when it sits inside us except fester. And that's not a pretty thing when it does finally come out. So I want to thank y'all for being with me today, spending time with me today. And of course, yes, I have that quote for you. The quote is, "Death is only the end if you assume the story is about you." As I mentioned before, I felt when I decided to find a purpose that did not involve me, I felt that my healing, it was quicker. I felt the healing started to move in a direction that really felt right for me. Sitting in my home and reading or listening to motivationals, that's all great. But for me, once I found a purpose that was outside of me, and I felt like the healing sped up, it became a little more rapid. And again, I'll tell you, like I told you last week, that there are still times that I hear some songs or hear music that my husband and I used to dance to. And yes, I feel the loss then. But I go to a senior citizen community and I help the elderly to use Facebook so they can stay connected with their kids and their grandkids who are across the country. You know, folks, we don't take pictures anymore. And grandma depended on those pictures to stay up to date with what the kids are doing. So if I can help them connect with their family so that they can still watch their babies grow up, that has given me some purpose. And I love that. So again, thanks so much for being with me today. I appreciate your time. I appreciate it. So just stay in touch. And have a great week.
This has been an episode of Lost and Starting Over, a weekly show on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Remember that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. We're here to help. Come back next week for another episode of Lost and Starting Over with Linda Ballesteros. Thank you for listening.